Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics every single week. We will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you could turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. What did he teach as his last message that he taught before the Last Supper? So that took me to Matthew 25. And then it's really interesting if you see what he taught right before the Last Supper. Because basically this was the last public teaching he was going to really be doing. So Matthew 25. At the time my coming draws near, heaven's kingdom realm can be compared to 10 maidens who took their lamps, their oil lamps, and went outside to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and ill-prepared, for they took no extra oil for their lamps. 5 of them were wise and sensible, for they took olive oil, with their lamps. When the bridegroom didn't come when they expected, they all grew drowsy and fell asleep. Then suddenly, in the middle of the night, they were awakened by the shout, "Get up! The bridegroom is here. Come out and have an encounter with him." So all the girls got up and trimmed their lamps. This is the Passion Translation. But the foolish ones were running out of oil. So they said to the 5 wise ones, "Share your oil with us because our lamps are going out." The wise ones replied, "We can't. We don't have enough for all of us. You'll have to go and buy some for yourselves." While the 5 girls were out buying oil, the bridegroom appeared. Those who were ready and waiting were escorted inside with him and the wedding party to enjoy the feast. And then the door was locked. Later, the 5 foolish girls came running up to the door and pleaded, "Lord, Lord, let us come in." But he called back, "Go away. Do I even know you? I can assure you, I don't even know you. That is the reason you should always stay awake and be alert, because you don't know the day or the hour when the bridegroom will appear." You know, that's a lot like that scripture where he says, "Away from me, you workers of iniquity, I don't know you." So these are 5 very, and I believe it, he says maiden, some say virgin. I just believe it represents people in the church, male or female. These are people who are waiting for the Lord to return. These are people who want to be part of the Supper of the Lamb, the big feast. So to me, it's interesting that the thing on his mind to preach right before he knows he's about to go to the cross, he tells everybody that parable. So he's really thinking about the bride. As he's going to the cross, he's thinking about the bride. He's thinking about the wedding supper. It's kind of interesting because, you know what, when he hung on the cross, it says he hung there because of the hope that was set before him. And I said, "Well, Lord, what was the hope that was set before you?" And he told me a long time ago, he goes, "Well, go see what happened right when I died." And so right when he died, he went to the Holy of Holies and he rent the veil and he made a way for all of us to have fellowship with him. So that was the hope that was set before him. Oil represents the anointing. Oil represents the Holy Spirit literally being so real to you and so close to you that the oil of his presence, the anointing oil of God, gets on you. And when that anointing oil of God is on you, your light. Your light won't quit shining. Wherever you go, whatever's going on, your light is shining. And that is so important to the Lord. He didn't die for religion. He didn't die so we can say there's good Christians and there's bad Christians. He died because he is looking for a bride. He's looking for a bride. And of all the relationships, that's the relationship that is his promise for all that he's going through. His father promises him a bride. Isn't that amazing? He wants such a strong relationship with us. And it talks about here, the bridegroom didn't come when everybody expected, and so they fell asleep. And if you've been at all involved in the charismatic move and the prophetic move, I think every generation has their people thinking he's coming now. And every time God does something that no one's seen for a while, they think he's coming now. And, I mean, Karen and I, and we've been really blessed to really jump into the kingdom when God was restoring the prophetic. Because it was the most fun, seriously, Holy Spirit fun time there was. The joy of the Lord was being restored to the church. There was, you know, encountering God. Nobody ever even used that term before. There was, you know, really feeling his presence. It's the first time people begin to really worship, because you can only worship in spirit, you know, with his truth. You can praise him just in truth, but you can only worship him in spirit. And so this whole revelation of the Holy Spirit, this whole revelation of this supernatural walk with God, there's always been people who've had some of that, but as God was restoring that in the last, seriously, about 35 years, that's really cool. For me, that's when I got into all of this. And I went from, you know, Methodist and hardly knowing anything about God, never heard about the Holy Spirit, to be honest, never heard about the anointing or the kingdom. My whole childhood life had to do, you know, we went to church on Sunday, that was it. And but we learned about Bible stories. We literally learned Bible stories, the ones they teach little children. And then that was my whole childhood. My parents never talked about Jesus. You kind of knew he was real, but it wasn't overly emphasized. And so to go from that to walking into just a real hunger for God, all of a sudden. So when you get hungry, that's the only time you're really going after oil. It's the only time you're going after oil. And I was listening to the people you like, RLM or whatever, and this was kind of interesting. And she talked about that all women, when they're expecting, because God is knitting together a baby in your womb, that there's a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. I think she calls it a portal or whatever. But there's a sensitivity, and it's when I heard her saying that, it's like, that's when I got hungry for God. The first time I literally seriously got hungry for God in a real way was when I was pregnant with Lauren, my first child. And all of a sudden, I just started thinking about God. I never connected the two, was because Holy Spirit is knitting together in my womb my daughter. So women, that's an awesome thing. That's an awesome thing. How faithful is God? How holy is that? You know, how holy is that? And I just love God because, you know, he obviously knows there's a difference between men and women. He made the male and female. And he knew what he had planned. He's so amazing. And so when you think about this whole idea of God wanting a bride and how he waits until, if we do this the way you're supposed to do this, then, and you wait until you have that bridegroom, and then there should be a hunger for oil. There should be a hunger for closeness. There should be a hunger for a closeness with that person. And that's worth waiting for, that holy relationship. It's worth waiting for something that's not about lust, but really about love, about passion. And so when you see these virgins, these maidens, these who represent the church, waiting for the bridegroom. Now, first of all, that's a pretty big revelation. Most people don't even know what you're talking about if you talk about the bride of Christ. And we were laughing. How long ago did we start that radio program called Here Comes the Bride? 25 years ago? Yeah, 25 years ago. Karen and I were on the radio, started our first radio broadcast, and it's still called Here Comes the Bride. Nobody had any idea what we were talking about. That's how long we've been hungry and getting oil. That's how long we've been getting oil. And there's a being drawn there. And for the Lord to make that one of his final messages shows me what was on his heart. And that everyone has settled for religion or a very infant relationship with God is very sad. And I do believe the end times with all the persecution and all the trials and tribulation has a purpose of drawing people close to God and spitting the lukewarm out. And so they just kind of fell asleep. And you've kind of seen that a little bit because, I mean, the whole time, you know, we went through the whole thing with was it Vineyard Movement and the Toronto thing was happening and all these awesome fun things. And we went to some wild, completely wild stuff. And everybody kept thinking he's coming any day. They're still thinking it. And people don't even realize yet that what God has is another move. He's not coming till this other move of his is completed. And that move is getting oil to the bride, to the maidens, to the ones who are looking. There's coming just to get the oil. And she's got to be without spot or blemish. That's sanctification. That's being made holy. That's giving your life to God completely. And she has to get ready. And anyone who thinks she's ready is got this little tiny vision of what this is about. Of all the prophecies, the one that hasn't happened is the bride being ready. I mean, I don't keep track of every nation and tongue has heard the gospel. I do believe there's going to be a move of God and a revival that's going to get his bride from every single nation. There's going to be, his bride's going to come out of every nation. There's also going to come a move of God to have the Jewish nation to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They're going to see this turning back to God drawing the Jews, which is starting to happen. And so, you know, I'm in Romans. And one thing that really does stand out to me right now, God shows me, is I understand, I don't agree, but I understand where people took the New Testament and began to think the Jews were the enemy of the church. Because in early history, the Jews were the ones persecuting and killing the Christians. If you don't believe me, just read it. They were the ones trying to kill Paul. They're the ones putting him in prison. They were the ones, the Roman soldiers would get involved because the Jews got them involved. And so that, I guess, is where the twist came against the Jewish people. And then the Catholics killed a lot. Religious people kill Christians. Religious people hate Christians. Christians that have oil. Christians that have light. The less oil you have, the more you're going to be trying to kill Christians who have oil. And the Lord said clear here, he's coming to get those who have oil. And I love the part where they're all going to think it's anytime, and then they get tired, and then they kind of fall asleep. Then 2020 comes. And suddenly, in the middle of the night, they're awakened by the shout, get up. The bridegroom's here, come out and have an encounter with him. And so God has been awakening the church. He's stirring the church back up. He's calling her back to a time to get ready. And so this isn't old news. I mean, I think the most important season and time and calling right now is to recognize the bridegroom king somewhere is coming. And no matter how close that is, it is the season for his bride to get ready. It's a season for his bride to get ready. It doesn't matter how old. I think it'd be really sad if a bunch of teenage girls were so much more about world stuff that they actually miss God calling them and drawing them into a relationship with him to give them oil. How amazing. I've never felt bad that my daughter in heaven didn't get a wedding down here, because I know her great love for Jesus Christ, she's going to be part of that bride. I know she's pure. I know she's holy. I know she sees things so much clearer than any of us that it's amazing. I've never for one second felt sorry for her, ever. And a lot of that is because I know how great it would be to be with the Lord. Paul says it's gain to die. They didn't even have a concept of trying to hold on to life down here. The early church was totally about to die is gain. But if I'm going to be here, I'm going to do something for you, God. If I'm going to be here, it's for you. If I'm going to be here, I'm just going to do what you want me to do. So anyway, in the middle of the night, all of a sudden they hear something's going on. There's an invitation to have an encounter with God. So all the maidens get up and they trim their lamps. The foolish ones are running out of oil. And so now all of a sudden they say, hey, Cindy, hey, Karen, we know you hang out with God a lot. Could you lay hands on me really quick? I want the anointing. I need to be closer to God. Or can you come over and pray for this? Or, you know, what's going on? And I don't know what's going on. Because those who weren't serious about this awesome calling to be his bride, they were running out of oil. Well, gosh, I went to church last Sunday and the presence of God was there and I actually got some oil. Then I just know I put a worship song on in my car and I felt good. Now by Monday, I forgot about it. Because you just got a drip of oil. You didn't get saturated in the oil. You didn't get your lamp full. So they said to the other five, please share your oil with us. Our lamps are going out. Please, you've got to do something. I feel like you're right all of a sudden. I feel like Jesus really is coming. I feel like there is something going on in the heavenlies. I feel like I want something more from God. What is going on? This all of a sudden, I realize I need what you have. Help. Now, when we get to this point in time, they're going to have to respond, we can't. We don't have enough for all of us. You have to buy some for yourselves. All of a sudden, there's going to come a revelation that if God's people have not desired to be with him, delighted themselves in him, got rid of every earthly thing as far as it being an idol in their life, and only wanted Jesus, it's too late. It's too late for them to be part of that bride. While the five girls were out trying to buy oil, the bridegroom appeared. Those who were ready and waiting were escorted inside with him and the wedding party to enjoy the feast. And the door was locked. I don't know about you, but this just happens to be one event that I don't want to be the bridesmaid. And this is one event I don't want to be late to. This is one event I don't want to be trying to get a ticket in. An invitation. This, when we understand how awesome it is what God has coming, we will want to tell people. We'll want to go to everybody and invite them in. And I'm just praying we all begin to get a heart to evangelize. Not so we can say, ooh, look who I brought the Lord. No, I want my family, my children, my grandchildren, my nieces and my nephews, I want their friends, I want all of them to get into this gigantic wedding party. This is going to be the greatest party in all of history and probably beyond our history. This is the party you don't want to miss. This is going to make anything that the rich and elite have ever had look like nothing. This is going to be a major, for real event. Wow. This is going to be such a major event. This is going to be the most exciting, fun-filled, unbelievable presence of God. Can you just imagine? Just imagine the Father God who's planned this event for his son before he even created Adam and Eve. That he already knew this is going to be, you talk about an awesome writer. Now, I'm not an awesome writer. This writing this book is not easy for me. Living some of these things I can do, but that's because the writer is Jesus, right? He's like, look what you've been through, now write it down. I'm like, yeah, I never thought of any of these things I've been through. I didn't think of these great endings. I didn't think of these adventures. None of this came from me. This, Lord, is you. You're writing this. I want you to stop for a minute and think of God as the author of your life. And if your life stinks, it's because you're not letting him have his rightful place. This is for anybody hearing this or watching. Where if your life totally stinks, you are not letting God have his rightful place as an author. He is the author and the finisher of my faith. He is the author and finisher of my life. He is the one who gets to say the end to my story as I enter into the most awesome new beginning there is. And that this powerful, awesome, creative, amazing God who chose this part in history to have a bride for his son, and then Israel's a bride for the father, for this powerful God to throw an event, it's going to be so sad for the people without oil because they're too busy trying to run after every event of the world and hang out and do what seems fun in the world and spend everything about the world and try to get ahead in the world, and our whole life is around the world and a little bit about God. Not enough to really have oil, because their heart is not, they don't understand what God is writing. They don't understand that this is a major of all time novel of history that, as far as I can tell from the Bible, in the book of Revelations, we have a big, big part in the ending, no matter our ages. Now, if some of us are older and we've already gone to be with the Lord, it's okay. You'll see me at this event. I hope to see you young kids at this event, though you'll be old then. See your children at the event. I can't imagine, for those of us who are not alive during the event on this side, we'll be really alive, but not on this side of heaven, that we get to have part in preparations and planning and the excitement. And we're probably going to look really good, because I have a guarantee the clothes and stuff there is going to make anything down here look weak. And I can even see if he doesn't come before I go to be with him, having this awesome time, Lauren and I, picking out the dresses, whatever it's real. I want everybody to get it. This God stuff is real. It's a real event. It's a real party. It's a real celebration. You'll really be dressed up. You'll really have oil. You'll really have excitement. It's going to be the most exciting event being planned in all of human history. And just think of all the suffering and the book of Revelations and the wrath and all that's being poured out down here, where the most glorious event of all time is being prepared. And the church who's still here, these virgins who are still here, these maidens that are still here, the ones who have oil, are going to hear about this. They're going to know about this. He's going to stir their hearts and their spirit about this. And he's going to prepare them. While the other five who la-di-da'd around and didn't care that much about God and the things of God, and they weren't that interested, they'd catch up on that later, they were rushing around now trying to get the oil. And while they were anywhere but where he was, he appeared. Jesus appeared. The bridegroom Jesus appeared. Wow. Those who were ready and waiting were escorted inside to the wedding party to enjoy a wonderful feast. And the door was locked. I don't believe that means that none of the other maidens got into heaven. if I look at the book of Revelations, I would say they probably are down here during the wrath, and they better not take the mark of the beast. Because the wedding, I promise you this, according to the word of God, the wedding supper of the Lamb happens before Christ returns at Armageddon. It happens before that. You can go look at it. It's in there. It shows you where it's at. And then he comes back on the horse with his army following him. Isn't that amazing? He wants to be married before he comes back for the final battle of all time. I believe it's going to be such a supernatural time of being invited to the things of God. That's why the demonic things and the supernatural demonic are so real and powerful right now and getting stronger and stronger. Because all of a sudden this realm that's a heaven, that's a kingdom realm, the two kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light are clashing. And there's this warfare going on in the spirit realm, which is why we need to really be interceding in this hour, because how we intercede and how we pray will determine a lot of our freedoms to preach the gospel, to invite people to the supper, to raise our kids the way we want to raise them, to not have them taken away from us. And so it's really serious to get serious in the hour that we're living. And the whole time I'm getting serious about the things of God and wanting the things of God for the next generation and for these young people, and the whole time I'm doing that, there's also this knowing I'm getting oil. Oil that they can't take away. Oil that there can be no lack of supply if I hang out with God. Later, the five foolish people came running up to the door and pleaded, "Lord, Lord, let us come in." But he called back. Now this is a lot like the scripture where they say, "Lord, Lord, didn't we know you? Didn't we prophesy? Didn't we cast out demons?" What does this show us? This shows us people groups on planet Earth, especially during the last days, who actually thought they were all right with God. And he says, "Away from me, I don't know you. You can't be part of this. You cannot be part of those who are going to live in the New Jerusalem. You cannot be part of those who really are one with me, who have union with me." And so he tells these the same. He says, "Go away. Do I even know you? I assure you, I don't even know you." Okay, that word "know" is a relationship word. That's not a hidden knowledge word. What he's saying there is, I have no ongoing, intimate relationship with you. You have hidden knowledge of me, but I'm here for those who have a relationship with me. And I just want to encourage everybody, this relationship thing isn't kidding. This is a real relationship. This is a relationship that when you let go and give everything to God and trust God and get into his word and ask him for oil, and you know you can't do it in your brain, you know you can't do it in your own strength, it's a heart thing, it's only your heart can say yes to God, then he becomes so real to you that you really talk to him all the time. And he makes jokes, I mean, and he shows you things, and he doesn't mind waking you up in the middle of the night and just to show you something. And he shows you when to pray, and he shows you how to pray, and he comes through you, and his power comes through you, and you take authority, and you do things, and you know what to do, and when to do them, and how to do them. And it's so real. And it doesn't matter what people do to you or say about you. It doesn't matter. The enemy can never take the Holy Spirit from me. He can't. And the Holy Spirit becomes your most precious friend. The thing you absolutely refuse to do without. And he goes on in Matthew 25:13. "That is the reason you should always stay awake and be alert, because you don't know the day or the hour the bridegroom will appear." Which means, well, none know. I would be so excited if it happens in my lifetime. So no one can tell you they know, because he tells you the word, you don't know. Now, if you love this teaching, and you better say you love this teaching, then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.